Evelyn died in December, and I never knew her when she didn't have Alzheimer's. She was the sweetheart of my friend Conrad, who taught poetry and reads poetry. Evelyn was energetic when I met her, maybe 6 years ago, but she could hardly communicate at all, not with words anyway. But she always held my hand and smiled and looked straight into my eyes. When they met, Evelyn was 84 and Conrad was 72.
What's that song? I remember the night. Is there a song that starts, I remember the night? Do you know that?
No.
Anyway, I remember the night. It was in a square dance in Vandalia. I think I had danced with her a few other times. Dancers are huggers, and hugging is part of the tradition. You hug when you usually hug when you get there, at least with some of the people. And then after the dance, each man hugs each woman. And it was the way she hugged. You know, I don't have a big thing about younger women, and I have some very good friends who are my own age. And yet I was a little cautious about getting too friendly with this very old woman, in terms of even then 10 years was still a lot older than I was. And yet she had such a warm, friendly hug. And I thought, hey, I'm going to ask this woman to dance again. And I did. We were in love after a while, you know.
Conrad and Evelyn square danced every week at one of the local dances. Soon they started doing more activities together. They had both had long marriages and had both lost their spouses. Finding each other seemed to be natural, but at the same time a little startling, as they didn't expect to feel the in-love feeling of youth. Both had been active and healthy, so they motorcycled, flew a small plane, walked miles on Conrad's farm, and rode a tandem bike. They set off on world travels, a lot of cruises, and not the kind where you sit in deck chairs and watch with a drink in your hand.
Yeah, one time we did a bike barge cruise from Antwerp to Amsterdam. They had two groups, the slow group, which would cover about 25 to 30 miles a day, and the fast group that would cover about 60 miles. We were in the slow group. And they had reserved a bicycle built for two for us. It was flat country. It was Holland, Belgium, and Holland. But we pedaled about 200 miles between Antwerp and Amsterdam. And she got an award. They gave her a special sweater with bicycle crocheted or knitted, whatever it is, tatted on it, as being the oldest person who had ever completed one of those. She was 80, I think she was 85 then.
By the time I met Evelyn, she couldn't speak very well, and she would laugh at the frustration of that. Conrad would bring her to my house for brief visits, even in the snow. He stooped down to remove her wet boots at the door. When I invited Conrad to do something, he would say, "I have Evelyn," and I would say, "Bring her." After a while, it was obvious to both of us that one went with the other, no questions. Evelyn always liked to visit my little dog. They had a way of communicating on a level that we don't understand. Maybe it's at a basic layer that we rarely see because all of our filters and editors prevent us from seeing. A few months before Evelyn died, she was living in a nursing home. I went to visit her there when Conrad was staying with her. I had a new dog then.
My.
Here, you hold this and I'll see if I can get him. There.
You want to pet the doggy? You want to pet the doggy? He's a new doggy. Her other little doggy died.
Dead?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Isn't that too bad?
Oh, how?
Yeah.
He had a heart attack, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you can pet him.
Yeah,
do you want to give him a kiss?
This is Gilles.
Huh? You want to give Gilles a kiss? He wants to give you a kiss. You want to give me a kiss? Evelyn?
Okay.
You're going to give me a kiss? Give me a kiss. That's nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For 4 years, Conrad had been taking care of Evelyn, 1 week with Conrad, the next week with Evelyn's son, Jay. It was hard on all three of them, and Evelyn was slipping further away into her disease. I sat with Conrad on occasions, and he would tell me what he and Jay were discussing about her care and about the decision to take her to the nursing home.
I was careful not to mention what was happening, and her son, he would talk to her sometimes about the possibility and what might happen. We had decided he would go there and make the preparations, and I would take her there. The day I drove her there, she said, "No, no." And this was on the road over. And then she said, "I don't want to." And then she said, "Bad, bad." And this is a time she didn't have much to say. And I have no idea how she knew, because I did not say, "We're taking you from my home or from your other home into a rest home." But she knew.
Before that drive to the nursing home, Conrad's care for Evelyn was 24 hours a day. He fed her and helped her go to the bathroom, dressed her, and never let her be more than one room away. She had wanted to find her mother for a period of time and would go down the road looking for her, Conrad following. Once he walked behind her for 2 miles to see where she was headed before bringing her home. He was losing the woman he loved, and she was right in front of him.
What are you thinking right now?
Well, I'm thinking if we keep talking like this, I'm going to cry.
Me too.
She was one of the loves of my life. Loved her as much as my wife. She's just such a wonderful, warm person. In some ways, she's gone. That's, you know, there's a phrase, dead and gone. She's gone, but she's not dead. And it's been, it's not a sudden loss, it's a gradual loss. And it just goes away a little bit of a day at a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time. You don't notice it day by day, but in the long term. And yet some of her is still there, the old spirit, even in the my.
What do you think she's thinking?
I wish I knew. I'm convinced, and I've talked with one person I consider important in my support group is a head social worker in an Alzheimer's unit. And she says she's completely convinced that even when the people are so far gone, they reject their loved ones. They don't know who they are. But if you go and hug them, they know who. And I believe that. I mean, she knows who I am. She may get to the point where she doesn't, but at some inside level. And it must be terrible to be inarticulate, to have things going on in your head. And you know what you want to say, but you can't say them. And she's at that stage. I know she's thinking things. Some experience, I know, when she says, I want. She's saying, "I want to be with you. I want to stay with you." When she could still talk, she'd wake up in the morning and she'd say that, "I want to stay with you." And I said, "I want to stay with you all the time," because every week I'd send her back to Jay's. And she was happy to be with Jay. And she still says sometimes, "I want." And I know that's what she wants.
With the move to the nursing home, Evelyn seemed to suffer immediately. She lost a lot of weight, and she started resisting every effort to take care of her. The staff asked that Jay and Conrad restrict their time there in order to give her some adjustment space. They did. It was early December. Soon it would be Evelyn's birthday. She would be 94.
I only know that it's pretty common when people go into rest homes, as I found out after this happened. She was just one of the mildest, most cooperative, easygoing people I've ever known. And within a week of being in there, she had changed almost completely, just a clear change in personality. If she had to do anything, if even like getting her dressed, taking her pajamas off, putting her clothes on, you'd have to hold her arms to get them in there. And as soon as she faced anything that she had to do, she resisted. It was difficult to give her a bath or a shower. It took two people. They had to hold her down. And when you hold somebody down, they resist. And I hear that's very, very common. It's partly that I learned when you deal with someone like that, you don't force them to do anything. You try not to confront them. You give indirect answers. You are very mild and gentle. And she had tender, loving care from her son and me. There she was one of 15, with 15 other people in a unit there. And they don't have time to give her full care. And they have to get things done sometimes. And they have to do it when they have to do it. And they have to hold her down.
Conrad kept wondering if he should have kept Evelyn with him. But 24 hours a day was wearying, even with a sweet soul like hers. He knows that she would likely have become belligerent toward him, too, as she lost more and more of her grip on her whereabouts and her knowledge of who was with her.
Well, her son and I took care of her almost as long as we could. We probably could have gone longer, and I think he wishes we would have. He made the decision to put her in there because things changed so quick. But I've only been this close to death when my wife was sick and dying. Most people, I think, many people have never been with someone who is sick unto death. I'm not sure I would want the responsibility. It gives me thoughts about my own old age. I could foresee some conditions where I would not expect my children to take care of me. It's just too much of a responsibility. It's 24-hour care, and if there's only one person, because I'm dealing with this form of dementia, I talk with other people who deal with it, and those ones who are doing it by themselves, it is a terrible burden. I see them suffering. One woman I know has quit work to take care of her father, and I just saw her at a meeting last week, and she said she had to get hospice in. It was too much for her. Another woman I knew who was taking care of her husband, she would come out in public with bruises on her arms, bruises on her face. He couldn't comprehend things, and he would get angry with her, and he would demand things, and he'd just treat her rough.
Oh, my mind.
You want his leash?
Hello? I think.
Here, I'm going to give it to you. Hang on. Ow.
Are you still recording?
Mm-hmm. You like my.
Do you like that doggy, Evelyn? You like that little doggy?
Yeah.
You do? Would you like to have one like that?
Mm-hmm.
You would, to hold on your lap.
Don't you?
Yes. I think it would be nice to have a little doggy. And your cat. You haven't seen Sparky for a while, have you?
Oh,
we'll have to tell.
Yeah.
We'll have to tell Jay to bring Sparky over to see you.
Evelyn died the day after her birthday. She no longer knew Jay or Conrad, or at least they couldn't tell if she did. They had been saying goodbye for a long time.
It's been okay. I have had a lot of support, and I have done a lot of grieving, actually. I did a lot of grieving in the
last 2 weeks of her life, once she no longer said, I love you, and no longer reached out to be hugged. I still went to see her every day or every other day. And they say that the hearing is the last to go, and that even though people don't recognize you, they hear you. And so I would hold her and hug her and tell her I loved her and tell her it was okay to let go, because she wasn't Evelyn anymore. Evelyn Sanjay had asked if I wanted to do a poem. He thought I might write one, but I told him I don't write poetry, but I would think about it and let him know. And then I thought about what I would really like to say to her or about her, and I loved her, and this is one of the loveliest love poems that I know. I loved you not only for what you were, but for what I was when I was with you. I loved you for the part of me that you brought out. I loved you for reaching into my hand and passing over all the foolish, weak things that you couldn't help seeing there, and for bringing out into the light all the beautiful belongings that no one else had looked quite far enough to find. I loved you because you helped me to make, out of the lumber of my life, not a tavern, but a temple. And out of the works of my every day, not a reproach, but a song. You did it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You did it by being yourself. Perhaps that's what love means, after all.
This story is dedicated to my friends Conrad and Evelyn. For WISO, I'm Eileen LeBlanc.